Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We are going to start a several-part series, Come Out From Among Them. I want to be very clear from the very beginning. This series is dedicated, is aimed at, is for believers. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is where the Christian life begins. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sin. We need a Savior. That's you, that's me, that's every person. That billfold is sin. We all have a sin debt on us. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. If we die with this on us, we're going to spend eternity separated from God. And He is not willing that any should perish. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Therefore, He has provided, let that hand represent Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth as a baby, lived approximately 33 years of age, and on that cross, He took your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. He gave His life, shed blood, broken body, 3 days in the tomb. He rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. It's nothing that I do. You could join this church, you could join every church in town, you can walk aisles, raise hands, water baptism, and on and on and on. Salvation is not of works. Look at your verse sheet. Ephesians 2, start at verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Salvation is not of yourself. Salvation is the gift of God. And it's not of works. There is nothing you can do. It is not of works to get rid of that. It is when you trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get it. He paid my sin debt. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in His work of redemption, and that alone for their salvation, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel message. Once you've trusted Christ, now you're born again. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I want to be very clear that this series I'm going to do is directed at born again people. And I want you to understand this is the salvation message that you get saved, born again, then this series pertains to you. And so it is, he that believes. It doesn't say believe and get water baptized. Do you believe on the Son of God that He has paid your sin debt? You have everlasting life. It doesn't say you get it when you die. It says if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have it right now. You're not going to get it someday. You got it. I have eternal life. I will change forms from this physical body to a spiritual body. But I have eternal life right now. And many in this room have eternal life right now. You're a Christian. Now this message pertains to you. Come out from among them. God wants us as born-again people, as believers, to be wholly dedicated unto Him. As a believer, God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's called spiritual growth. In the Old Testament, it's called wisdom. Wisdom in the Proverbs. Do you want to be wise? You want to be like Christ? Our study is going to eventually get to compromises that will take us away from holiness. Not really quite being what God wants us to be. We're good enough. That's not what God wants. I want you to consider 1 Corinthians 10:6. These things, referring to the things that were written in the Old Testament in Israel, these things that happened to Israel were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they, Israel, in the Old Testament did. Particularly back in the wilderness wanderings. And in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now these things happened unto them, Israel, for examples or ensamples. And they're written for our admonition. We are going to go back eventually in this study and see Israel. And when they were under Egyptian bondage, Pharaoh offered them four compromises to fall short of what God wanted them to do. God does not want partial obedience. He wants holiness. And this is so important for us to understand. You see, if you're an unsaved person, you're dead in trespasses and sin. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior apart from any works. You then begin your Christian walk, your Christian life. And your whole life you ought to be growing in the Lord to become more Christ-like. You're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You're a new creature. Therefore, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we bring a lot of baggage into the Christian life. But that man, that old self is dead. We're born again to newness of life. Let us walk in the Spirit. And you have to learn to grow to do that. But I want you to get a key verse, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Paul wrote these words, "Wherefore, a conclusion to the argument, come out from among them." The unsaved world. You're born again. You're different. You're now a child of God. "Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you." That's not for salvation. That's for sanctified holy living. That's what God wants from us. And as I said, this series is going to have a study in compromises where the devil doesn't want us to quite do what God has for us. Almost! We must learn. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I want you to notice this. "Be ye holy" is not a suggestion, it's a command. This is what God wants of His people. Be holy. Why? Well, because it's written. Alright, where is it written? It's written back in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Written to the children of Israel. "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify," set apart yourself to be holy, "sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." They were to be holy in the Old Testament. We're to be holy in the New Testament, and Peter links the very concept. Well, it was different in the Old Testament. Well, it was different in that they didn't have the church. They had the law at that time. But we still have the same God. And we're to obey Him. I want you to consider, when Peter wrote those words, "Be ye holy," who did he write to? 1 Peter 1:1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered." They were scattered, believers. How do you get scattered? What do you think moved many believers to leave their homeland? Some type of terrible persecution came upon them. And they are now scattered in a foreign land. And if you read the whole theme of 1 Peter, it is suffering. So here, we're persecuted so bad we have to flee, and we get to this new land, and guess what? Headaches are here. And under those circumstances, be holy. Consider these people suffering. 1 Peter 1:6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." You've got trials on every side. "That the trial of your faith..." I've asked this many times, faith in what? Your very faith in God is being tried. Even when your very faith in God is being tried, be holy. It's more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is going to try your very faith as He tried their very faith. And were they in difficult circumstances? Have you lost your homeland and had to flee for your life and there find many trials and tribulations and you're still supposed to be holy? And this command is surely for us today. Be holy, pure, blameless, consecrated to the Holy One. I like this very simple quote. You can find the world's shortest sermon on 1,000 traffic signs. Keep right. A lot of truth there. Drive down the road, God's telling you, would you keep right? As you consider coming out from among them and being ye separate, it's not just coming out of the world, it is drawing close, separated unto God. This is quite often where a stumbling block comes in. Too many times, you hear this idea, and I'm sure there are people hearing my message right now, been there, done that, Pastor Holler, I have been under the church that is so legalistic I can't breathe. So do we swing the pendulum so far the other way that we don't have any rules and regulations? Or do we look to see what God has for us? I believe there are churches that probably are too strict. I believe there are churches that aren't strict enough. And when you find the perfect church, tell me, I want to learn from them. Because I don't claim that I'm perfect either. But I know this, if we seek His face, He'll guide and direct. You see, we're not just to come out of the world. We're to draw close to God. And the perfect illustration is the young man and the young woman that fall in love with each other and they gladly give up their single life to be bound in marriage. And is Jesus Christ not the groom and the church is the bride? And we draw close and we just want to be with Him. This is what ought to be. Forsake that old unsaved world, that old unsaved life, and draw close to our God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Wherefore, conclusion, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Come out. When you get saved, God does want you to change. Will every believer change? No. Are they still saved? As long as they put their faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, they're born again. You can't lose it. If you could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal life. It would have been temporary probation. Consider. The story is told of a young woman brought up in a very careful Christian home who, when she went away to college, was persuaded by some nominal Christians that if she would have any influence with her fellow students, she would have to let down the bars a little bit. So at last, she was persuaded to dance, and she later went on to the college prom. There on the floor, she was dancing with a young man, and as she danced, she said to herself, I am doing this in order to let people see that I am not narrow, to let folks see that I can meet them on their own ground, and I must remember to bear witness for Christ here. And so as the dance went on, she tried to say a little word, but her partner did not know what she was all about. As he led her back to a seat, she said, One I am anxious to know is, are you a Christian? He looked at her and said, Good gracious, no. You're not, are you? She said, Yes, I am. And he said to her, What are you doing here? She realized at once that even the world had a high standard for a Christian. The world expects the Christian to walk in separation from it. It will do what it can to get the Christian to lower his standard, but always despises him when he does. I'm going to greatly condense this for time's sake. Written by a pastor, he had a church service one night. He had a very talented soloist come up and she sang the song, Jesus Satisfies. I'm not familiar with the song. After the service, as the people were leaving, he noticed one young lady never left her seat. He went back and asked her what she was thinking, what she was doing. She said, that was my best friend that sang that song, Jesus Satisfied. Now let me quote. Well, she said, it's just this. I believe a Christian ought to live a different life from a worldling. I am a worldling and I do not profess to be anything else. I have been trying to find satisfaction in the world. I confess I have never found it. But my friend, who was the soloist, got up and sang, Jesus Satisfies, and that's a lie. He does not satisfy her. She professes to be a Christian. She often tells me I ought to be a Christian. But when I go to the theater, I find her there. When I go to the ball, I find her there. When I go to a card party, she's there. When I go to anything of the world, she's there. What difference is there between her and myself? The only difference I can see is she professes to have something which I do not profess to have. But it does not do anything for her. Her life is just like mine. And he says this, what could I say as the preacher? I talked to the young woman and tried to show her that no matter how Christians fail, Christ abides and never fails. You see, we have power in a separated life. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. But the problem is when the preacher starts preaching holy living and truly do something with it, come out from among them, we feel boxed in. Preacher, that life's not for me. I've been there. Please consider 2 Corinthians 6:11. Oh, ye Corinthians. Now this church was nothing but trouble, 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 if you read it. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. I'm pouring out my life to you. Paul is saying, you're not straightened. We'll get to that word in a minute. You're not straightened in us. You're straightened in your own bowels. Paul is saying that word straightened means cramping. It's not my teaching, it's not my mouth that is cramping you. That you feel boxed in. And I just don't like this church. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not my words. It's you because you are resisting what God wants. God is not telling us to be holy to make our lives miserable here on earth. He has literally sent His Son to die for us to get us out of the world. Why would we live in the world? And the devil has us convinced that the world is where it's at. I'm just fine. I really like that music. I have absolutely no desire to give it up. They're cramped by their worldliness. You're not straightened in us. It's not me. It's you. You're resisting what God has. The Holy Spirit is convicting you and you're blaming me. No, it's not me that's straightening you. It's your own bowels, your own inner thoughts, convictions. It's you inside. Quote the commentary, let me say, you're not straightened in us. Our hearts are really concerned about you. But you are straightened in your own bowels. You are narrowing your own life by worldliness. You don't realize this. You think you're enjoying life because you're letting down the bars, but you're not. You are not getting out of Christ what you might. You're not getting out of the Christian life what you might if you were more devoted to the one whom you call Lord. Your life is narrow and straitened because of inconsistency. This was true of the Corinthians and it's true of many today. And therefore, if you consider this, 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12, he goes right on to verse 14, therefore be not unequally yoked, and on come out from among them. He wants these believers to come out. And the devil is lying. That life's no good. You don't want to do that. That's legal. Don't be a fanatic. You're not going to have any fun. It's the greatest life on the face of the earth. You must remember there's a spiritual battle. Paul is stressing separation, of course, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not to hurt, but to help. See, one of the biggest problems we have is we come out from among them is quite often we're not taught the relationship with God. Rather, now listen, now that you're a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't, and don't do that, and don't do that, and don't, and your Christian life becomes a bunch of do's and don'ts. Are there things we ought to stop? Yes. When I married my wife, she did not hand me a list of do's and don'ts. But did I change? Absolutely. Why? I loved her. This is one of the problems, is people aren't taught a relationship. Did I change? Absolutely. I didn't want to run with the guys anymore. I wanted my life to be with her. We need to fall in love with our Heavenly Father. And then, I don't want that life anymore. I want this life. Can you run with the world and still be a Christian? Yes, you'll be a miserable Christian. And one day you'll be very sorry when you stand before God. And the truth is, you cannot run with the world without being tainted. I don't know that this is a true story. Maybe simply made up, but it certainly makes a point. A group of young people were about to explore a coal mine. One of the girls was wearing a white dress. A friend urged her to go home and changed. Not liking the interference, she turned to the guide who was to conduct them and said, "Can't I wear a white dress to go into the mine?" "Yes, ma'am," was his reply. "There's nothing to keep you from wearing a white dress into the mine, but there's plenty of things to keep you from doing it again." Hey, listen, as a Christian, you're free to go walk with the world. Don't be surprised when you're dirtied. You see, we're not to isolate ourselves from the world. Christ went among sinners, but He insulated Himself. He did not isolate Himself. When you go to the doctor, what does He do? He puts on rubber gloves to insulate Himself from disease. Christian, we are to go out among sinners. We're not to isolate ourselves. We are to go out as Christ went among them, because we are the mouthpiece to share the good news. We, though, must go out and insulate ourselves, maintain holiness, not partake of their deeds, but rather be a light in the midst of darkness. This is what God wants for us. Come out from among them. Don't wear the white dress down a coal mine. Insulate yourself. Not isolate. You see, here's one of the key points that we're going to wrap up with this morning. We are to go among sinners, but we are to maintain holiness. We are to be different. And we are to be holy, listen to this very carefully, according to God's standards, not according to the world's standards. You can go out and find all manner of entertainment, and just because it's common, in quotes, everybody does it, doesn't mean it's right. That's the world's standards. There is clothing that the world says, this is good. And God's standards say, no, that's not my standard of holiness. There are all manner of things that we could do by the world standards, and God says, no, come out from among them. Be holy according to my standards. And the devil is going to lie and lie. You can't, oh, you're going to be a fanatic. You're going to be an idiot. And it's the worst life you have ever lived in your whole life. And Satan was so subtle, he deceived Eve out of paradise. Do you think he can deceive us? God has standards of holiness, and we're going to get on in this study. The devil wants us to compromise, and we're going to see this through what was offered to the children of Israel while they were in Egyptian bondage. And the devil is going to do that to us. Oh, almost. I know God said this, but He doesn't care. Just a little bit. We'll get there. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Are we ever going to achieve perfection? Absolutely not. But we can sure do a whole lot better as we grow day by day to be conformed to the image of His Son. I like the words, to turn your eyes upon Jesus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Listen carefully. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You see, this is not for unbelievers. Well, if I start to live holy, I'll get salvation. No, that's why I started out at the beginning. Salvation is by trusting Jesus Christ and His shed blood, His broken body, His work of redemption on the cross. That is what saves you. Not trying to apply yourself as holiness. That's for believers. You see, we could never do enough good works towards holiness to earn salvation. It's free and clear, apart from any works. But now that we're born again, Christian, apply yourself to Christ's likeness, and that means come out from among them and strive for God's standards of holiness.
This is Pastor Rod Hollard. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.